Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. This is episode 1921 on the second day of June. Unbelievable. If we're already in June, this first 6 months of 2019 have absolutely flown by. But we've gone through it together. Here we are. In the fight to preserve our heritage, liberty, and fight for the things that are right, right? So there is definitely a battle, spiritual war, and also political, physical, in so many different ways. This manifests itself, you know, in the touch and feel. You can see it with your own eyes, right? So that's what we are going to talk about tonight. I started to get into a couple of things that I wanted to expound on, and plus I have some updates. This the drag queen reading hour, targeting 3 to 8 year olds specifically. If you didn't hear the foundational episode where I first talked about this. Before you get to the updates later tonight, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that show on the American Christian Network affiliate ACN that aired yesterday, and that is posted on our Podbean site, so you can go and listen to that and get up to speed. So, and other things here before I get to the news, T-Rex 2019 is coming up on us pretty quickly, July 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's a 3-day, starting at about noon on Friday, the 26th. It'll go till about noon on Sunday. So essentially, we call it a 3-day exercise. It's really about 48 hours of you practicing, flipping the light switch, the power switch to your place, or bugging out, practicing your bug out plan, or living off grid, practicing with your off grid generator and off-grid power and your communications, specifically a scenario-based nationwide disaster communications exercise. So we're putting some the final touches on that. We've still actually got a lot of work to do, but we've got a lot of time also to get everything together that we need to for the exercise. But enough right now. You know enough right now to know to start inventorying your emergency response plan, your family emergency plan, and then also start getting your communications. We want to encourage you to participate in the Amron Nets. Go to amron.com, that's AMRRON.com, and look at the practice schedule. Find if there's something going on in your area and the HF or shortwave radio nets that are going on, and get ready for that, because you're going to want to stay informed in case of a real world emergency. This is an opportunity for you to practice not just your family or your group or your organization's emergency preparedness plan, but also your communications. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be exciting. All right, now let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, of the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out, including the audio books. First of all, the Wall Street Journal just broke, in a blow to Maduro, Russia withdraws key defense support to Venezuela. This is a huge development, because with Chinese and Russian and Cuban military assets in the area, this became a potentially a very volatile situation. Well, Russia apparently now is withdrawing. Russia's withdrawn key defense advisors from Venezuela, an embarrassment for President Nicolas Maduro, as Moscow weighs the leader's political and economic resilience against growing U.S. pressure. And the article also points out that they've had a hard time paying their bill to Russia. So whether or not that had anything to do with it or not, I'm not sure, but this is definitely a major setback for the communist dictator in Venezuela. But it's also interesting because I picked up on another story earlier this week on Reuters. Now, the story is titled, "From Colombia, Venezuela Defectors Arm Themselves to Liberate Their Homeland." These are former intelligence officers, soldiers, and police officers from Venezuela that have gone into Colombia. They are starting to form up. And they're saying in this one group in particular, there's about 150 of them. And the Venezuelan Defense Ministry and the Information Ministry, which handles media inquiries for the government, did not respond to a request for a comment about the formation of the militias in Colombia. Now, this is interesting, too, because they start getting into cross-border military operations. Colombia said that they're not, the Colombia would roll these guys up if it were proven that these guys were actually breaking any laws, you know, to carrying out operations. So right now they're training, they're gathering and organizing, but the Colombians have said they haven't technically broken any laws, so we can't arrest them. So this is interesting watching how this might unfold. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. But they just lost, Maduro just lost most of the Russian military presence there. And now there are former soldiers, police officers, and intelligence officers that are organizing in Colombia. So we'll continue to watch that. Really interesting situation going on there. From One News Now, Christians are allowed to lead Christian group after a lawsuit. Isn't this amazing that this is a headline in the United States of America? A Bible study group, 1A Public University, has reversed a controversial policy that forced a Christian student group to allow non-Christians to serve as its own leaders. Despite accusations of religious discrimination, the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs refused to back down after their informing Radio Christi that it could not require officers and leaders to adhere to the group's Christian principles. What's the point? Well, anyway, they finally backed off after they were sued, after the situation changed, and all of a sudden, a higher level of accountability was involved. They decided to change their policies, recognized Radio Christi, and allow their group to operate freely on campus. So that's when the Alliance Defending Freedom, or the ADF, stepped in. So Travis Barnum was the attorney with ADF. Thank God for those people that are helping to push back against the tyrants. But we were told Christian persecution's coming. It was just one of the most recent publications. It's the monthly publication, The New American, highlights that. It was really good. I got to, if you guys don't subscribe to that, I strongly recommend it. What was the title of that? I just pulled it up. That's right. It's A Dangerous Time to Be Christian. Of course, this is the New American magazine, and very conservative. The communist watchdog organization. And it is a dangerous time to be Christian in the West. But it's been a dangerous time to be Christian for a lot of people around the world. It's just new to us. But excellent article there talking about persecution against Christians, even in the West, in the United States. In the American Redoubt News, has this featured. And I want to just personally thank Alex Barron from the Charles Carroll Society for starting this, the first in a series titled Antifa versus the American Redoubt. And this is part one, recent violence from the far left. And he highlights the actual violence of the left. And he talks about me. He talks about this, this chat. Well, he says, allegedly, in a series of private text messages, John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Redoubt, a veteran who actually served this nation, which, of course, you know, all of the all of those that are the godless pagans, the anti-Christians and anti-Americans and atheists, they hadn't served in the military. But they're attacking veterans who have served in the military, who love their Lord, who love their nation, and continue to serve their country, fighting against the forces which have set themselves against America and our heritage and our values and our faith. And we continue to fight for those things because the enemy is as real as it was when we were overseas. But anyway, he says he's an excellent patriot, spoke about what they would do if violent Antifa showed up in northern Idaho and started to attack conservatives. Well, we weren't really saying what we were going to do. We were just saying what we'd like to see happen to these people that are beating old men up and punching women out and beating people up because they're wearing MAGA hats. But now what we'd actually do, I don't know. It depends on the situation. The tactical situation is going to dictate your actions, right? You adapt to the tactical situation on the ground. I don't know exactly what we would do, but I know that I'm not going to just sit idly by and watch my community get ransacked by communist revolutionaries. So anyway. But anyway, it's really great of him to write this. And then he starts going into the document. Well, he says, first, Antifa are not anti-fascist. Antifa, or anti-fascist, is an Orwellian term, as in war is peace, truth is propaganda. Antifa are communists that use fascist methods. Antifa, or violent communist black shirts, are the stormtroopers of the globalist elite. He's right. They are violent communist black shirts, and that is what I call them, he says. The violent communist black shirts often receive neutral or positive media coverage. The violence of the communist black shirts is often ignored by its network of supportive reporters or vaguely explained away. So true. While they demonize, marginalize at best, but demonize the conservative patriots who actually understand the threats that are up against the United States and our values. In other news, this is great. Stimson Lumber announces it is pulling timber jobs out of Oregon in a rebuke to new taxes and carbon caps. This is great. Stimson Lumber, the company's CEO, Andrew Miller, has been just, he's been railing against Oregon and its leftist policies for a long time. They're going to lay off at least 60 people at its Forest Grove mill, 40% of the workforce there, and move some of its operations to Idaho and Montana. Imagine that. You're pushing your industries out of your state. It's great. And when Liberty becomes a state, jobs like this are going to flood in. They've already said they're going to. They're waiting. If Liberty State happens, we're moving up. We're picking up. We're moving our operations to Liberty State because it'll be so capitalistic. So anyway, that's this is really good. He said, I don't need to be hit with a 2x4 in the face to see that Oregon is an urban state and rural Oregon is a place for urbanites to recreate. Investment capital and jobs are mobile. I see the smoke. I do not need to wait for the fire. It's time to adapt to a changing environment by moving on. That's called redoubting. That's as simple as that. Someone who sees what's going on, they see the smoke. They don't need to wait for the fire. It's time to adapt to a changing environment by moving on. That is called strategic relocation. That right there is the perfect summary of the American Redoubt. He's moving into the heart of the American Redoubt. Can't really move into the American Redoubt so much, although we say Eastern Oregon is part of the American Redoubt, only because it is so rural and still conservative, but it is a patriot black hole. There is just, people are like in a stupor. Unlike Eastern Washington, where they're actually pushing back, fighting against Olympia, and actually going so far is to begin the process of breaking away and forming their own state. But in Eastern Oregon, it's a big yawn. We got listeners in Eastern Oregon. You know what I'm talking about. It's like you cannot wake anybody up. You feel alone. So folks like this, Stimson Lumber, the CEO of Stimson Lumber, saying we're picking up. We're moving into the American Redoubt. We're going to move to Idaho or Montana. Speaking of Montana, though, they're not without their issues. Northwest Liberty News did a great job of covering this. The Montana Secret Police. Can the government apprehend you or a family member without a warrant, without a hearing, and without due process? They can if they work for the Montana DPHHS, what we typically call CPS. He highlights a story here, and this is something that I've come across these stories increasingly so recently here in the last, I would say when I say recently, probably in the last year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, I'm starting to hear more of these stories with increasing frequency. Now, I agree with Jim White from the Northwest Liberty News. Sometimes there are legitimate cases where these vulnerable children need to be protected. But over, I would say this is so epidemic. I would say that the majority of these cases, the children do not need to be removed from their parents. This is a crime that nobody's talking about. And in this case, they said that the removal. Okay, so the reason for removing. Oh, this young child's name is Bastian. Bastian was taken from his mother, Samantha, by their CPS, DPHHS, before she even left the hospital. One would think that a mother would have to do something pretty heinous to her infant child for DPHHS to spring into action so quickly, even while the mother is still recovering from childbirth. Sadly, that's not the case with Samantha and Bastian. The reason for removing Bastian from his mother's care are outlined on the document that he encloses here in this posting. Due to the nature of the photocopy, he basically recounts. He says, this is what it says. Concerns of inability to provide appropriate care, inability or unwillingness to cooperate with this department. Now, you talk about Orwellian. CPS is completely out of control, and they are completely unaccountable. It's out of hand what they've been able to do, the things that have happened where they've taken children away from homes. And now Washington State just passed that law, the home visitation law, where the state has the right to come and visit your home to make sure your child is in a environment that's, you know, it's a safe environment. And of course, we know what we know the agenda, the anti-gun agenda, how this is going to tie in. Also, this is also being set up for future child abductions, essentially legalized child abductions for families who refuse to allow their children to be injected with these vaccines, where there's so much either evidence pointing to the harm that it does, or lack of evidence, or things they don't know enough about that they are putting into our children. And now Washington has passed a law forcing that on people, on children, on our children. So in this case, He goes into much more detail in a video that he posts about this specific case. But this is just rubbing me the wrong way because I'm aware of a few personally. No, one particularly recently that I'm personally aware of. And it is just really rubbing me the wrong way. So I want to start highlighting these more and digging into some of these more and exposing them. And this is also something that's being discussed as far as being dealt with in Liberty State at the constitutional level. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. We'll see. Anyway, finally, Stark Raving Mad page from the rhinopack.org website. I chose just one here. Quote, I kill white babies. What are you talking about? This is from just a couple of days ago. Out of Paris, France, a rap artist, so-called artist, Nick Conrad, an immigrant to France from the Central African nation of Cameroon, has released a video titled Hang White People. The video is filled with anti-white vulgarities and violence. The video depicts the African rapper kidnapping a white man, dragging him along the pavement, and kicking him in the head. Conrad then stuffs the white guy into the trunk of a car, shoves a pistol in his mouth, and kills him. The video shows the man's body hung by the neck. And of course, in another video, he's on top of a white woman choking her. And it's despicable. Other portions of Conrad's masterpiece show him rapping, I go into the nurseries, I kill the white babies, catch them quick, and hang their parents, pull them apart to pass the time, amuse the black children of all ages, little and big. There's absolutely racism is alive and well, and it's being fed by the globalists. This is pretty atrocious stuff that's somebody actually recorded his garbage and put it out on the market for people to buy. Unbelievable. But that's why they call it Stark Raving Mad. About your 90 second to 2 minute summary from the top stories, at least the first couple of stories from Alerts USA, their weekly summary intelligence briefing. And then we'll be back with segment two. So, and don't forget, if you stick around at the end of the show tonight, we will also be streaming the full length weekly summary intelligence briefing from Alerts USA. So this is your about 2 minute teaser. Segment two coming up. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal weekly Homeland Security update for Saturday, June 1st, 2019. This week in security news, first up in this report, on Monday, subscribers were notified of a mass stabbing attack near Tokyo, Japan. In this incident, an assailant wielding two knives killed two and injured 16 others, including more than a dozen schoolgirls in the Tokyo suburb of Kawasaki. The attack took place at a bus stop where elementary schoolgirls waited for a ride to Caritas Elementary, a Catholic school in Kawasaki. Japan's NHK National Television reports the attacker held a knife in each hand as he approached the bus stop and just started slashing at the children. Witnesses told the station that the man also attempted to make his way onto a bus. The attack occurred on the last day of a visit to Japan by President Trump and the First Lady. The attacker, a 57-year-old man whose name has not been released, also died after reportedly stabbing himself in the neck. As of the time of this report's preparation, police indicate they are unaware of the attacker's motives. Historically, Japan has had one of the lowest rates of violent crime in the developed world. Mass attacks are rare, but it has experienced sporadic, deadly incidents. Next up, on Friday afternoon, Alert USA subscribers were notified of an active shooter situation unfolding at the Virginia Beach, Virginia Municipal Complex, which houses City Hall, courts, and offices for multiple city government departments. In this incident, Dwayne Craddock, a 40-year-old public utilities employee, entered Building 2 of the complex and began indiscriminately shooting at workers on at least two different floors, killing 11 and injuring 6. Police arrived soon after and engaged the suspect. One officer was shot during this exchange but was saved by his bulletproof vest. Reports indicate the suspect, who was armed with a handgun and rifle, died in the battle with police. Thus far, law enforcement have declined to comment on the shooter's motives. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal weekly Homeland Security update for Saturday, June 1st, 2019.
We're back with segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. If that's where you're looking to strategically relocate, check them out today. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right. Now, yesterday we ran out of time. And I started to get into a positive story from the entertainment industry this week. And that was when Oscar-winning actor Jon Voight openly supported President Trump, actually calling him probably one of the greatest presidents since Abraham Lincoln. Now, I happen to agree with Jon Voight. I think that President Trump is as unorthodox as he may be. He is no more unorthodox than Winston Churchill was during World War II. And he was very unpopular with his own party. And he was one that people scoffed at and scorned. They rolled their eyes at his methods and the things that he would say and the way he would say them. But guess what? He was the right man for that time in history, born for that moment. And I believe that holds true for our President Trump. This week, matter of fact, today was a national day of prayer, is being called for by Franklin Graham to gather around and pray for our president. There are a lot of people that are vocally, they're speaking out. They're becoming more vocal about standing up for our president and recognizing the challenges that he's up against. So this is what Jon Voight had to say. People of the Republican Party, I know you will agree with me when I say our president has our utmost respect and our love. This job is not easy, for he's battling the left and their absurd words of destruction. I've said this once and I'll say it again, that our nation has been built on the solid ground of our forefathers. And there is a moral code of duty that has been passed on from President Lincoln, Mr. Voight advises on video. So he says, I'm here today to tell you the truth, and I'm here, and he's telling the truth. I'm here to tell you, my fellow Americans, our country is stronger, safer, and with more jobs because our president has made his every move correct. I agree with that statement. I don't think that we're any safer. I think we're more dangerous. Not because of President Trump, but because of the forces, the evil, anti-American, anti-Christian forces that are mobilized now because somebody is actually doing what we all wish somebody would do for the last two or three decades. And now he's doing it, and he is putting a stick into the spokes of this globalist agenda, and they hate him for it. So because of that, I think that out of desperation, the adversary is getting more desperate, and they're more willing to do desperate things, more dangerous things. He says, don't be fooled by the political left, because we are the people of this nation that is witnessing triumph. So let us stand with our president. Let us stand up for this truth. President Trump is the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. God bless America. And may God continue to guide this nation. Much love. And of course, he says, you know, quite a few other things, but this is what I keyed in on right here. You know, the truth is very important right now, most especially. And those who believe in the truth must be cherished, people like, well, he says Laura Ingraham. But I can think of many other people that I would mention before Laura Ingraham. Although I like Laura Ingraham. But he says they are wonderful people. He's talking about people that are attacked by the media, attacked by the left. Okay, so he just come up with the example of Laura Ingraham as, you know, another person besides President Trump. But like I said, I can think of so many. He says they are wonderful people who we need very much at this time when our president is being attacked with lies and slanders from the media. Now, what I want to point out here is that it is not just these high-profile people in Washington, D.C. or New York that are being targeted by lies and slander, misinformation, disinformation, half-truths, out-of-context delivery of information that are very calculated and very intentional. Their intent is to harm the people who are the most effective at disrupting the globalist, leftist, communist, socialist agenda. And that is happening not just, it's easy to look at Trump. He's on the news every day. But right in your own community, there are patriots that are fighting for the right things. And the ones that are most effective are the ones that are getting slandered the most locally. There are several here. Just across the border from Spokane, Heather Scott, Idaho, John Green, representative, both of them representatives. Over in Washington, Representative Matt Shea. Lieutenant Governor McEachin of Idaho, strong conservative patriot. Senator Jennifer Fielder, Montana, have been fighting against federal corruption and the state's lands issues and private land rights issues, all of the things that we care about. And she has been attacked and maligned in the papers and marginalized, demonized. And somebody showed me a text that they had, and I don't remember which parade it is. There's some parade coming up in the next, within the next month. Maybe it's the 4th of July. I don't remember. But anyway, what it was a text, a screenshot of a social media page where these radical militant leftists, and I've seen others as well, where they're saying, these Republicans, what are we going to do about them? Are we going to have to start killing them? Now, these are two women, leftists, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, talking to each other on social media, saying, are we going to have to start killing these? And we're going to have to start taking these Christians. We're going to have to start storming their churches to let them know that their hate won't be tolerated. That's how twisted these people are. They're so hateful. There's no Christians storming the indivisible meeting, but they're gonna storm you because, and they have to, because you're so full of hate. They hate you so much because you have so much hate, which they can't even articulate that. But in this latest screenshot, I see calling for others to join them to show up for this parade that apparently Representative Matt Shea is supposed to be appear for or be in the parade or something. But it just is calling for others to join us, all you who are against Trump and Shea. So President Trump has nothing to do with this local hometown parade, but they just hate Trump so bad. I mean, President Trump so badly that they're going to lump him in with any local effective leaders that are in the fight to fight for our religious freedom, to fight for our property rights, our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights, search and seizure rights, accountability in government. And that's who they've targeted. So I like I said, mentioned yesterday, this is an honor, actually, to have leftists call out for others to join them to come and protest, recruiting anyone who's against Trump and Shea. Their words. So right on. There is, and I'm grateful also for these patriots that are stepping forward and that are speaking out on behalf of the patriots that are being attacked. Over at, for example, Charles Carroll Society, Alex Barron wrote a piece defending me and going on the attack against Antifa and calling them out and Indivisible, all these that are associated together, and calling them out and calling out the leftist violence that we're seeing actually take place. Well, over at the Inland Northwest Report, or InlandNWReport.com, there is an article posted there, Time to Get Things Straight About Matt Shea and Liberty State. And this guy lays it out. I don't know who he is, but I'm grateful for others that are stepping up and making their voices heard. He says, Liberty State is not Shea State, although he's a major force driving this movement. His presentations are chock-block full of valuable facts, and they are. But see, the leftists don't want to hear the facts. You just confuse leftists with facts. It makes them cave in, melt down on themselves. But back to what John Voight said. He said, they're wonderful people who we need very much at this time when our president is being attacked with lies and slanders from the media. And I want to point out another one, this propaganda alert. We have a propaganda alert here. And this was one put out by KHQ, which has very quickly gone downhill as far as any type of a credible news agency with the type of biased, I think it's slanderous, the way that they report it. But see, so let me tell you what I'm talking about. This Kevin Kim, local news reporter at KHQ, that's out of Spokane. Here's the headline. Exclusive, Matt Shea's group chat originally titled White Movement. Now, when you go further into the article, they actually went to a Gonzaga history professor and said, what is this Soviet, this Russian translation? What's this word? Oh, it's translated. So the Gonzaga history professor says, well, this is a Russian group. They were they thought that the Jews and the communists were forming together to take over. And so they were an anti-communist group that fought against communists. And the white movement is what that translates to. Actually has nothing to do with skin color. It's actually, at that time, it was the red Russians against the white Russians. It was kind of like the, blue is Democrat and red is Republican. Blue versus red. You know, this state's turning more red and blue is pushing back. That kind of thing. Well, and the same thing in the revolutionary years of early of the Soviet Union, before the Soviet Union, there was the white Russians and the red Russians. It had nothing to do with ethnicity. That's just what they called them, like blue and red. So they were the white Russians. They were the ones that were for, restoring the homeland the way it was, pushing back against communists, keeping communists out. But see, that doesn't matter to these people. And that's how we know that this is an attack and that it's biased, because that's all they wanted was the headline. Okay, you can read further in the story and realize, oh, white movement, that has nothing to do with being white nationalists. It's not even related. It's not what it means. But it doesn't matter. They got their headline. The headline they wanted. Matt Shea's group chat originally titled White Movement. So extremely misleading. It borders on slanderous. Just like John Voight was saying. Even when it's not outright slander, it has the same effect as if it were slander, because it is so misleading. And now in this day and age, when we live in sound bites and headlines, that's all the reader needs to know. They just need to read the headline, Matt Shea's group, white movement. Oh, that dirty, rotten so-and-so, he needs to go. And the problem is, and this is what I mentioned yesterday, the people lack discernment. They cannot even discern when they're being fed half-truths, lies, propaganda. We lack discernment in our culture today, even among Christian patriots. And this is a problem. It's a serious problem. So I would ask you guys to pray for discernment. Use discernment. Don't even pray for discernment. I mean, pray for discernment, but start using discernment right now, whether you have prayed about it or not. In other words, when you see the headline against somebody you know has a track record of fighting for the values that you care about, and he comes under attack from a media outlet, which you know the media today has gone off the rails, way to the left. You have to stop. Don't take it at face value. Don't look at that headline and go, really? I never knew that about that person. What a dirty, rotten so-and-so. Read further. Okay, and then go to other sources. And also, most importantly, this is where discernment comes in. Do a gut check. When you read something about somebody that you know is fighting for the things that we care about and we value, that we know are under attack, and that person comes under attack, something in your gut should be telling you something ain't right. Right? That's discernment. Before you reach a conclusion, before you make a judgment, stop, put the brakes on and go, wait a minute. What this headline is saying isn't matching up with what I know about that person. Something is not matching up. That's discernment. And then you look and you say, aha, I knew there was more to this. And now I can see the biased reporting. I can see the agenda here. Ha, I'm not falling for it. That's what we need among the Patriot community. Discernment. Okay? Let's take a break. Come back with segment three. That'll be our final segment tonight. Segment three coming up. I'm going to finish talking about some of these updates with this drag queen reading hour targeting our children. Yes, in the American Redoubt. The most urbanized leftist part of the American Redoubt, but nonetheless, Patriots are riled up and they're getting ready to fight back. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is segment three and the final segment of this episode, 1921. This is 19-21, the 21st podcast, Sunday evening podcast of 2019. And segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. Also, they're based out of the American Redoubt. They help you with defensibility. They help you secure your water rights. They help you with energy, water, food production, everything to get the most out of your property as a retreat property for sustainability. And they also offer their consulting services outside of the area. So no matter where you are, you can give them a call. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Now, yesterday, I was talking about, first of all, I opened up with this United Nations World Health Organization had this big meeting to determine, to discuss classifications of diseases, including mental diseases. And they removed gender identity disorder as a mental illness. Transgenderism, and there's the headline, the UN's World Health Organization has officially removed the term transgender from the classification of mental disorders. Well, they can call it what they want, or they can not call it what they want, but I think that most rational people would agree that transgenderism is a mental disorder. It's out of touch with reality, with the reality. It's how I feel. And I want to be a woman. I feel like a woman. And I, even though I've got all the stuff to make me a man, I'm so angry that you call me a man. I demand that you pretend with me and call me a woman, even though I'm not biologically or physically. I wish I was a woman. So I want you to all call me a woman. Now, this has gotten so out of control. But it's trickled its way all the way up to the United Nations, so they've changed it now. And now it's instead of gender identity disorder, like somebody who thinks they're a gender that they're not, now they have to be called gender incongruent. But see, the other thing that I highlighted there was that the World Health Organization is pretending to be your friend, and they claim to be that, you know, if you claim to be a gender that's incompatible with your biological sex, you should be guaranteed medical treatment and surgery to make you sterile. And it goes back to the roots of this, the people and their roots. They're pushing for abortion, which is stems from the American Eugenics Society. Eugenics, that means getting rid of the undesirables and creating like the perfect race. Eugenics, right? A desirable race. Just kind of like when you're breeding certain dogs or horses together to get that perfect outcome, all the right features of this, so the bloodlines, and get rid of, just kill. If something comes out that you don't mean to, a mutt, you just cut his throat, right? Or sterilize it so you don't even have to get that far. It's very interesting how this stuff ties together. What they're saying they're fighting for you, though, according to a paper written by Dr. McHugh, he's writing is consistent with other specialists that are saying you have at least a 20 times higher rate of suicide than those who don't go through this reassignment surgery, this transgender issue. So the people that are helping you, fighting for you to pretend along with you, actually placing you in a category where you are 20 times higher probable in the suicide rate category. And they're actually targeting children, 70 to 80% of people who have this gender identity confusion episode when in their youth, 70 to 80% of them spontaneously lost those feelings once they got out of puberty and their hormones started leveling off a little bit. That's why they're targeting you when you're young. Oh, you have those feelings? Oh, that's great. Hold on to that. And nobody had better try to counsel you away from that thing. We're going to protect you. Matter of fact, just to make sure we can catch somebody, maybe even plant the seed, we're going to catch you when you're really young. And we're going to have these drag queens reading stories for an hour at schools and libraries and other institutions, deliberately targeting 3 to 8-year-old children. And that's what's happening on the South Hill. The South Hill of Spokane at the public library. They're holding on. It's on their calendar. You can go look at it. Just do an internet search, South Hill Spokane Library, and look at their calendar. At 2 p.m., June 15th, they're holding their drag queen story hour. Now, this is not just happening in Spokane. This didn't just pop up here. This is happening across the country. They actually have their own website dedicated to this. DragQueenStoryHour.org.com. I mentioned it yesterday on the show. So I wanted to point this out because I have some updates here. And like I said, this is headed toward legalized pedophilia at some point. No matter what they say, they're gonna talk you down. They're gonna browbeat you. They're gonna tell you how preposterous it is, that you're fear mongering. You know what? Screw those people. People that are gonna try to tell you that you're just making things up, that you're exaggerating, you're trying to create hate, that what you're saying is what they're trying to do is not really what they're trying to do. They're liars. So, yep, there it is. Saturday, June 15th, 2 p.m., South Hill, under the category Fun and Games. Now, Thursday, a Facebook page called 500 Moms Strong was created. There is a protest. There is a pushback coming. The group, organized by Anna Bohack, bless her heart, and a handful of other moms, remember, this is KHQ. The same people who said that Matt Shea's chat was... Oh, by the way, here's a question for KHQ. Your anonymous insider who gave you this chat log, letting you know that there's a white movement. I wonder if you could go back and ask the traitor, the person who betrayed his friends... And especially Matt Shea, betrayed him. Ask that traitor why, who was your inside informant, right? Who wants to not be identified. Why don't you ask Jay Pounder why he would start a chat, name it White Movement, and then add Matt Shea and two other patriots to that chat group? Why did he do that? What was his motive? Because Matt didn't start that. Jay started that chat group, named it White Movement, and then added three other people, including Matt Shea. And then Matt Shea's the dirty, rotten, bad guy because you guys got an agenda. So I got a little sidetrack there. But, I mean, there's my question for you, KHQ. Ask your informant, whatever, your source, why he started that chat and named it White Movement and then added other people to it. So when KHQ says this Facebook page, 500 Moms Strong, organized by Anna Bohack, Bohach, and a handful of other moms, handful, I mean, probably hundreds, but they'll call it a handful because they got to play it down. Bohatch said she reached out to the library to express her concerns, but they responded by telling her to ignore the event. That's when she decided to organize the 500 Moms Strong and the protest, which is going down as well. And this is what the library said to her. LGBTQ children need role models, and all children should learn to embrace gender diversity and learn empathy, the library said. We are hosting a Drag Queen Story Hour for as part of Pride Month and as a reflection of our key value of diversity and including and celebrating Spokane's diverse communities. Now, remember, this is the library that last year prominently displayed a children's book at eye level to a typical 5-6-year-old on the shelf, not just stuck in the among all the other books, but set it out by itself in an open place on the shelf, stood up on end, partially opened so that it would support itself standing up. And it's the book was titled A is for Activism. And it is purely leftist trash. A is for Activism was the name of that book. And I went and did a search for it this afternoon. You can do an online search for books in their inventory, and it's nowhere to be found. Imagine that. But I covered that last year. That was brought to my attention by a patriot in Spokane who sent this and actually got the book, checked it out, so that she could take images, pictures of all of the pages and send them. And there's pictures of looks like Antifa. They're all cartoon drawings, right? But this activist with the black mask, just like Antifa, standing up for equality and inclusion with their fist in the air. That's the same library that not only had this book in their inventory, but went so far to deliberately place it where it could be seen, prominently displayed. That's the same library. So, story time and the protest are planned for 2 p.m. on June 15th. And, I don't know if you know this, an additional Drag Queen Story Hour event is planned for the downtown branch on June 22nd at 2 p.m. So, the next week, 2 p.m., downtown Spokane. Now, lots of things have been brought to my attention as far as possible responses to this. I want to point a couple out. First of all, the Spokane City Library on the South Hill, their phone number, I'll give that to you if you want to write it down. They need to hear major pushback from people. Don't be threatening. Be firm. Be civil. And be very blunt about how you feel about this drag queen story hour, essentially advancing pedophilia, in my opinion. Grown men dressed as women, wearing dresses and all kinds of makeup and all kinds of other freak looking stuff, accessories, reading to your children 3 to 8 years old. The phone number is 509-444-5300. That's 444-5300. The area code is 509. 509-444-5300. And let them know how you feel. Now, there's something going on, and this is not the city of Spokane. This is the Spokane County Libraries. But these folks are all associated with each other, and they know each other. They interact with each other. So, there is an open house for a library levy proposition. Spokane County Library District placed a library levy proposition on the August 6th ballot. Get the facts about the library's plans for levy funds, blah, blah, blah. They're saying if this levy doesn't pass, they're going to have to shut down some of the Spokane County libraries. That levy is August 6th. It's on the ballot. So if they don't remove this and put out a public apology, there needs to be a major campaign to vote no on this levy and begin shutting the libraries down. These libraries need to be shut down so long as they're being used as a conduit for globalist leftist activism and pedophilia. They need to be shut down and hit them in their pocketbooks and tell them, call the Spokane. I don't have their number. I didn't pull it up. The Spokane County. And even if they say, that's not related to us, that's city. Why would you punish the county? Because you know what? Every library in this county, including Spokane, it's infectious. Every one of you need to be shut down until you purge this pedophilia from the library system in this county. I don't care if it's a city library. You're all connected. The August 6th ballot, they have a levy. That's Spokane County Libraries. Shut them down. Now I want to close with this. There is a book. Oh, so if you can, be at the protest on the 15th, South Hill, if you are in the Spokane area, Coeur d'Alene area, wherever you are, show up and support this. and also look at the 500 Moms Facebook page as well. 500 Mom Strong. Go check it out. There's a book called Confrontational Politics. And I think that everyone here in this listening audience, every Christian patriot needs to read it because it's appropriate for the time that we're living in. It's called Confrontational Politics. Now, if you would want to, if you'd like to help us out, go to our Amazon, go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the Amazon banner. That'll take you straight through to Amazon and then do your shopping. And when you do that, then we get a small fee for that, or a kickback. It's just a small percentage, but it all adds up and it helps offset the cost of Radio Free Redoubt. Anyway, go and get the book, Confrontational Politics. Now, at Amazon.com, here's the book description. In this area of ever-growing, more distant, unresponsive government, and politicians of both parties who do not walk their talk, retired California State Senator H.L. Bill Richardson's book is a strong tonic. He warns, however, his words are not for the faint of heart. As Finley Peter Dunn once said, politics ain't beanbag. He spells out in a series of lessons how his often hard-pressed conservative minority was able to win victory after victory on issues like the death penalty, gun control, and removing liberal judges. Quote, the central theme of this book is the methodology both sides use. Being right is not enough, he cautions. And he's right. Being right is not enough. Because we see the advancements of the leftist agenda, and it still keeps grinding forward. While we sit it out, we go to another barbecue, or we go and do something fun, and we don't want to do anything, but we're agitated, and we wish somebody would do something, but we are the somebodies. And a lot of people want to do something, but they just don't know what, or they don't know how, and this will answer that book. It was recommended to me by a couple of great friends, and twice now I've started reading it, and I've gotten a third of the way through. I was very impressed with it, but life got in the way, and I never finished it. So that is on my list. That's my homework assignment. I'm going to challenge you. Make that your homework assignment within the next 10 days. Between now and June 15th, get or acquire and read Confrontational Politics, and then get engaged. We need you. Calling all patriots. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You guys have a blessed week. And until then, thank you for your prayers and your support. So with that, this is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing and liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.